Previously on Ex-Wives Undercover, Liars, Cheaters, and Love Cons. In the last episode, Sarah, Todd's assistant, came clean to Jill about who Todd Dean really was. And although Jill absolutely believed every word, she still found herself unable to completely pull away from this man. Plus, let's not forget that Jill had given Mr. Dean thousands of dollars, and she was not completely ready to accept that her whole relationship had been a lie. Thankfully, Jill comes to her senses and reaches out to Wendy, and shortly after, all of the women join forces with one goal in mind: to take Todd Dean down.
Welcome to Ex-Wives Undercover.
Liars, Cheaters, and Love Cons.
I'm Amber.
And I'm Athena.
First, we told our story, and now we're sharing all of your craziest and most heart-wrenching stories of love gone wrong. Sometimes we laugh.
And sometimes we cry.
But more importantly, we stand together.
All right, girl. You ready to do this?
Let's do it.
The views, information, or opinions expressed on our show by our guests are solely the views of those individuals involved and by no means represent absolute facts. Opinions expressed by the host and guests may change at any time. Our podcast and YouTube show may at times cover sensitive topics, including but not limited to suicide, abuse, violence. Listener and viewer discretion is advised. As I continued to learn more and more about Jill's story and the many women involved, I realized how vital the women whom I introduced you all to in Jill's previous episode had played such a pivotal role in her story. If it wasn't for Todd's assistant Sarah and her act of kindness and bravery when warning Jill, who knows how much more money Jill would have given Todd? And what if instead of accepting Jill's friend request, Wendy ignored Jill's attempts to communicate? Well, there is no doubt in my mind that Mr. Dean would have continued to manipulate and scam Jill for many more months or possibly years to come. There was another question that I kept coming back to. Why would Sarah put so much on the line, including her job, to help a woman she didn't even really know? And then there's Wendy. How was Todd Dean able to repeatedly fool these intelligent, beautiful, and successful women? So, what better way of finding out than going straight to the source? And oh boy, this story is a ticking time bomb, and these women are ready to blow the lid off. Days prior to this episode going live, Wendy, Amber and I decided that it would be in Wendy's best interest to pull the live portion of her interview due to her current legal proceedings on this matter with Todd Dean. Instead, I will be narrating Wendy's story for her. While getting to know the many women involved in this story, it became very evident that Todd Dean has a type. So I was not shocked to learn about a kind, attractive, and educated woman by the name of Wendy. Let's now start at the beginning to see how she came into contact with Todd. Wendy, a mother of two, also hailed from the great state of Tennessee. After finalizing a divorce 2 years prior, Wendy decided to put herself on a dating app. And this is when she would meet Todd Dean in late January of 2022. On Todd's dating profile, he had already added that he was the CEO of Sanjara Wellness Center. And of course, within the first few days of them even speaking, Todd is beginning to plant the seeds so that he can start his master plan on conning yet another woman. With individuals like Todd Dean, you will always see a consistent pattern. So when I asked Wendy about when she started to see the red flags with Todd, I was not surprised by her answer. While only knowing this man for a few weeks, Wendy felt that Todd came across as a pro when it came to carrying on a relationship via text message. There were multiple texts, multiple images. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And like the saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Well, let's just say that quote definitely fit this situation. In addition to the red flags that Wendy saw with Todd's excessive picture sending, she also saw some red flags regarding his business ethics. By their fifth date, he said he needed to raise money because this woman was causing him trouble regarding Sanjaro Wellness Center. Yet, he would send Wendy photos of him up in a helicopter and state that he was flying in these high-profile investors. It just didn't seem to all add up. The confusing part was everything that Todd had told Wendy about Sanjaro appeared to be the truth. The Wellness Center website was beautifully designed. The multiple people speaking on behalf of Todd on his LinkedIn profile or even his Facebook business page was overwhelmingly positive. So why wouldn't Wendy or any other person that saw all of this think twice about this not being a real company? So how did Todd convince Wendy to invest in his company? Sounds like it was very well organized. The subtle hints, the boastfulness of how amazing this company is, persuasion of how it's going to help so many, consistently bringing up high-end investors already involved, and then slowly bringing up financial issues that could be easily remedied by a quick financial investment. Add in a shit ton of love bombing, and bam, you have just heard Todd's recipe for fraud. There was something that I repeatedly heard from the multiple women, and that was Todd had a specific angle at targeting them. I noticed that Todd would dig a little bit. He would ask about their childhood, their upbringing, or even the mental health of their children. In some of the stories, I found out that he would even attend Alcohol Anonymous meetings to try and prey on the individuals there. In the last episode, Jill had discovered Wendy during a conversation with Lacey. And when things started to not add up, this is when Jill reaches out to Wendy, first via a business-style email, followed by a conversation where the two uncovered how much they actually did have in common regarding Todd Dean. After the conversation between Jill and Wendy, Wendy does promise that she will not contact Todd until Jill has enough time to go to his place and remove all of her things from his home. But knowing everything Wendy now knows, would she be able to wait? And although everything that was being revealed was absolutely awful and hurtful, the timing couldn't be any better. Because Wendy had already planned a vacation, and she was leaving the very next day. The two women did not want to play all their cards quite yet. The realization of everything Todd had done to both Jill and Wendy was still sinking in. The two needed a game plan. They needed to get their money back. Now they didn't know who the hell they were even dealing with. Being that Wendy was on vacation, she didn't have her phone next to her at all times. And Todd did not like that, because when Wendy went to go check her phone, she had an upwards of 17 missed text messages and phone calls from Todd. Todd could sense that something had changed, and he did not like it. Throughout my many conversations with multiple women, this seems to be a pattern of his. It looks like there are three phases to Todd's behavior. Phase one, he first meets you. He sets the stage, plants the seeds, multiple calls, multiple voice and text messages, and then the crude and tasteless videos and pictures come rolling in by the dozens. And as soon as he gets his money, Todd moves into phase two. This is where, even if you've slept together a handful of times, and even though he's acted like he was in a relationship with you, he reminds you that he has never officially given you a title. Therefore, you were never dating or his girlfriend. I mean, didn't you know that it was super common to get naked images from your friends? Yeah, right. Moving on to phase three. It is coming up on that time where he's due to repay you for your investment or your loan. And this is when either one of two things will happen. Either Todd will become extremely rude and distant from you, or if he feels you pulling away and starting to realize that he is not who he says he is, he will obsessively contact you. He will obsessively call you and obsessively tell you lies to cover his ass. I think it's fair to say that Todd has reached phase three with both Jill and Wendy. Todd was now losing control and was unable to keep up his charming facade. And these women could see right through him. After Wendy returns home from her vacation, she does see Todd about one to two more times. She wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt and hoped that Todd would come through with repayment. But when the day arrived that he was supposed to repay her, all she received was a handful of bullshit excuses. One promising event in all of this is that Wendy did have Todd sign a legal contract to repay her. But as you all know by now, getting paid back by Todd is much easier said than done. There was another interesting thing that Wendy had told me during my interview with her. Doing some digging on the web, she saw that Todd had already done this type of fraud to several women living in Sun Valley, Idaho. However, there was one woman who stood out to her, and that's because she had a major online presence. Wendy told me that she believed her to be a life coach, an inspirational speaker, and even a best-selling author. So I decided to look into her as well, and Wendy was absolutely right. This woman on her website states that she'd been through a lot growing up and that she had turned her life around. And that did sound just like a person that Todd Dean would try to take advantage of. Wendy also told me, after talking to a few other women who had been scammed by Todd, she came to the realization that she did not feel like Sanjara was ever Todd's idea, or at least the name wasn't his. I would be interviewing Sarah, Todd's assistant, and I was going to ask her if she knew anything more about this woman or the other woman that Todd had scammed in Idaho. It is now time for you all to meet Sarah, Todd's previous assistant. And she is one brave woman. Can you tell our listeners how you met Todd Dean? I do know that you were his assistant. I'm just curious how that came to be.
Sure. So I had been laid off during COVID from my full-time job with my employer out of Nashville. And I had taken some months off and wasn't really worried about it. I had savings. And so I just kind of relaxed for the summer. And then the kids were getting ready to go back to school. So I was scrolling on Facebook, and in one of the groups that I'm in said that somebody was looking for a part-time office assistant.
Okay.
And it was like, that's right up my alley. Like, and that's all I wanted. I only wanted a part-time job. I didn't want to do the full-time thing. So I said to send a message. So I sent the direct message to him. And then he's like, hey, can you give me a call? I did a phone interview with him. He sent me over an email that was a letter to an invite for a powwow. And he's like, I just need to know what your office skills are like. Can you edit this for me as part of the interview process? So on and so forth. So I did that. And then he's like, great, let's do an in-person interview.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I met him at the property in Kentucky and we did an in-person interview. And right there in the interview, he hired me on the spot. And I was just supposed to be helping with like basic office things. I was going to help get the property ready to be opened. I was going to help get paperwork together for proposals and business plans and, you know, just the basics.
And when you say property, is this the Sanjara, the wellness center that he was putting together and trying to open?
This is the property that he had borrowed money from an investor. He had borrowed $1.8 million to purchase this property just outside of, or it's in Franklin, Kentucky. So this is the property that he intended to open, or said he intends to open to have the Sanjara Wellness Center.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So you were brought on solely for that. Sounds like he was in over his head from the other women I've spoke to. Some mm-hmm. even say that maybe initially he had the right intentions, but he was never a person who could ever fully execute this. Do you think as he had good intentions so, as well?
I'm going to tread lightly on that question.
Okay.
I think he had intentions of opening Sanjara, but it was going to be a cover for him to just get money from people.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, initially, I didn't think so. Initially, I thought it was going to be this whole amazing wellness center and he was actually going to do all of the things. I never would have gone on board if I hadn't thought that it was going to be something less than spectacular.
Yeah.
So, and I think the potential is there for him to actually do something great if he could pull his head up. Am I allowed to swear? Head out of his ass.
You can definitely swear.
And so, I mean, he has the potential to do some great things. He just chooses to be selfish. Yeah. And he's a narcissist as clear as day. And
absolutely.
He is. He's the cluster B borderline.
For sure. Like, I see so much sabotage and they're always just imploding everything around them. And it's just, they never learn from it. They just repeat the actions over and over. So they're incapable. It's sad, but it's also just horrible to watch because they leave so much mass destruction along the way on their path. It's disgusting.
After only 2 weeks as Todd's assistant, Sarah begins to see red flags. First, Sarah witnesses the massive failure of Todd's supposed grand event where he flies in a group of prominent investors.
So I started working for him on August 19th. September 10th, the weekend of September 10th, he had this, he called it the powwow. And we flew in people from all over the United States and had this big thing. And nobody knew what the powwow was for. And that was the weekend that I saw the red flags. But I was like, maybe I just don't understand how this is actually supposed to work. Maybe I'm just seeing something that's not there. But it definitely got me to like start picking up all of the little things. So when some of the guests came to me and they're like, what is this powwow for? Now, mind you, these are like top of the line people that have very busy schedules. They dropped everything for an entire weekend to go to this powwow that they were told was going to be nothing short of spectacular. And they get there and we have nothing that they thought was going to be for the weekend.
Are we talking like putting them up in a hotel's living quarters, dining, wining and dining?
We put them up in a hotel. They were told they were going to spend the weekend in a hotel.
Okay.
And they were going to visit this property and they were going to, we were going to have some meetings and things like that. And then they were going to go home.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be this weekend long excursion. They were going to go out, you know, to Broadway in Nashville and do some things there. And it was just supposed to be like this meet and greet type of thing. But what he had said to all of the people in previous conversations that I was not aware of is that they're going to learn the secret sauce. And that phrase, the secret sauce, to why Sanjara is going to be successful.
Okay.
And they get there and there's no secret sauce and there's nothing. They stayed in a hotel for the first night and then they had to stay at the property, which wasn't even suitable to be living in.
Oh my God.
And so they are all absolutely disgusted. The rooms smelled so bad because they had been closed up for months. Yeah. And so after that weekend, that's when the red flags hit me, is because they're all going, what's the secret sauce? And I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about, secret sauce? And so it was just kind of this eye-opening experience for me.
Oh my gosh. How uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Mind you, I'd only been working for him for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't even really understand. Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible. And I didn't really understand the whole concept of Sanjara. And because what he had explained to me was not what we talked about at this powwow. And so then I realized that weekend that things just weren't lining up. Okay. Nothing made sense. So then I had to get clarification from him. And that's when he's like, do you not trust me? And that's when the narcissist started coming out, was, you know, 3-4 weeks in. And I was like, oh boy, I'm in my over my head already. Mm-hmm. But it was like, maybe he just needs some help and somebody to organize things so that we can actually open. So that was in September. In October, I knew for sure that something was wrong.
Now well aware of Todd's major dishonest business dealings, Sarah is not surprised by what she sees next. Todd asks her to help oversee his business bank ledgers, and this is when Sarah uncovers that not only are Todd's financials a complete disaster, but that Todd is a total con man.
He started letting me see the bank account.
Okay.
And within a 5-second search of his business account, I was like, I will never touch your bank accounts ever, because you cannot do business this way. You have to separate these things. And I'm like, this is fraud in every sense of the word. And you are not spending the investors' money the way that it should be spent. You're also not giving the investors that have already invested money any account information.
Right.
To show them where their money has gone to.
Right.
And his response was, I don't have to. Once they give me that money, it's mine to do what I want with it. And he said, actually, it's not. And that was the first time that we disagreed about how the money should be spent. And then it was just a lot of tension after that.
That is crazy, because you're right. I mean, I don't know if you heard any of my and Amber's story with our initial podcast that kind of launched this, but our ex is very similar that way. And he created these fraudulent companies, but he would have this a bank account, but he just used it. It was one account. That's it, as a personal account. It was like, okay, he was getting gas, groceries, paying his bills. Oh, and then there was business, you know, paying for his office or whatever it was. But yeah, you can't do that. And especially when you have any type of like shareholders or investors, they need to see. They need to see the ledger and where that's going. And I think they should be able to request that at any point, especially at least quarterly. And so he was so unorganized, clearly. Wow. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm just so shocked he let you see it.
I know. Well, he told me that I needed to be in control of the finances because he was going to overspend if he was in control of them. And I said, I get it. Like, I know a lot of men, women too, but mostly men that are like that, that, you know, if they have control of their own finances, they're always going to be broke. And I was like, okay, maybe he's passing the reins so that we can actually get this
right,
like, underway. Like, we have renovations to do. We have a lot of things. He'd go and spend like $200 at Starbucks.
Okay.
$700 at Costco because he wanted, you know, whatever he wanted at Costco. And not any of that was for the business. I mean, obviously a business that's not open doesn't need $200 at Starbucks. Like,
okay.
You know, online purchases, Venmo to people that have nothing to do with the business. I mean,
or that you knew of.
Yeah.
Oh God.
After Wendy had told me about the woman that Todd had been with and very possibly stole the idea of Sanjara, I wanted to know if Sarah knew anything about this.
It's crazy because talking to Wendy, she told me information. And as things unfolded, I realized that he really ran away from this same situation that imploded in Sun Valley, Idaho. And that there was this group there that just blew up his spot. And I was just like, he just really had to run to a whole new state.
He did. He fled to Nashville, and the same thing is happening there. And I will tell you 10 to 1, he is headed to Miami after this.
Somebody else mentioned that too. Wendy says that at some point, you know, Todd had sold her on this whole thing that they were going to open Sanjara together, this, that, and the other. And I asked her, are you sure? You know, because he has created quite a fake online presence. And a fake life, multiple types of facades of who he is. And I just was curious, do you actually really know if he really did know this woman, if any of these things are true?
Okay, so they dated for a little bit. And you can actually find pictures of them online at like different galas and events and things like that. So they actually did date. Now, the reason they dated is because she came from money and he had none. This was not his idea. Sanjara was actually the business name that she came up with.
Hey, that's what I thought.
He sued him for 50% of everything and for the name. And he won because it just became this long drawn out thing. And she's like, forget it. You just move on.
Oh my gosh. So that is true. Okay.
Yep.
So it's real.
Yep.
Okay.
That is real.
Because you just never know.
Probably the only true story he's ever told.
Yeah. I know.
Like I said at the beginning of this episode, what better way to find out what the truth really is than by going directly to the person? And she graciously agreed to speak with me. And out of respect for her privacy, she will remain unnamed. I first went to her website to look into the information that had been given originally by Wendy and Sarah. Everything they said looked absolutely correct. This woman looked like an amazing person who had really turned her life around and wanted to help others do the same. Her email was listed on her website, so I decided to go that route and send her an email to fact check some of the things I had been told. By the following day, she had responded and clarified everything for me. I first asked if she could clear up whether Sanjara was the name that she'd come up with or if it was Todd. Her response verbatim is, "Athena, the answer to your first question is that I not only came up with the name, but the entire wellness center idea was mine too. Todd only learned about what I was doing because I shared my dream with him." Which leads into the second question I asked her, was Sanjara really both of their idea or just hers? And was there any legal action taken after he did take the name or the idea? Her response, "He stole my idea of creating a wellness center after I broke up with him. I had to hire a lawyer because he was still using my name and telling people I was his partner in it. I believe in karma and realized the more time I spent on the lawsuit, the more energy I was wasting on him. I ended up winning in the end because he did have to stop using my name." The third and final question I asked her was if she and Todd Dean were actually in a romantic relationship. Her response was, "We only dated 3 to 4 months, but I suspected early on he was a con man. I just wanted to hear what I needed to hear and believe at the time. That's my biggest lesson. Listen and trust your intuition, ladies. He is a good con artist, but he is not really that smart. Thank you for reaching out to me and letting me know all that you were doing to highlight that monster." Well, now that we have all of that cleared up, let's get back to Sarah's interview. It is very clear that Mr. Dean will stoop to any low to get what he wants. And that includes sending multiple texts, pictures, and videos begging for money.
When I got all these screenshots from Jill, she was asking like, you need to repay me. And he would send her screenshots. "I'm broke." And it would show like
negative
$300 or $60 in a bank account. At any point, did you notice that he did actually have multiple accounts and maybe he was just having a chunk of money here and just showing them another account with barely any money in it? Do you think that's possible? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He has 5 bank accounts.
Okay. I know he's a liar. Clearly. He's a scammer and he's a liar and he's a manipulator. And you see that when he's like, "I can't even pay my rent," or the videos I've seen, I'm just like, I'm embarrassed watching him. "I only have like $30, Jill. Like, I need help." And I'm like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed that you're even begging women for money. Like, you scheming, scamming piece of.
Yep.
Oh, she's been working. Some debate whether you're going to poke her. You feel like send me $25?
Feeling horrible for the men and women that Todd was so obviously scamming for money, Sarah decides to do what's right and warn the individuals she had gotten to know.
Yeah, in November, I reached out to 2 of the investors that I had started to become friends with. And I told them what he was doing. And I said, he is borrowing money from this person or that person, whoever's willing to give him money. He doesn't, I mean, he really doesn't care who it is. I mean, there's a handicapped lady that lived in his apartment building that he borrowed money, $50,000 from. Oh, hasn't paid her a dime of it.
He's so disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And so I started telling them what was happening. And at first they didn't believe me. So then I said, here's how you can know that I'm being honest and he's not, is let's all hop on a call. Let's get on a Zoom, because one of them lives in California, the other's in Arizona. And we were, Todd and I were both in Nashville. And I said, let's hop on a Zoom call and you ask him these questions. And ask him for a ledger, because you deserve to know where your money is.
Absolutely.
And he got so mad in that Zoom call. He blew up on them. He's not giving them a ledger. And then he agreed to give them a ledger of only 1 month worth of finances, but it was from one of the bank accounts that we didn't ever use. It just had money in it. And he would put $13,000 in it to, or $12,000 to pay the mortgage. And then he would, that, you know, pay the mortgage. And that's the only thing that ever went through that account.
Right.
So I got back with the two investors and I said, you need to push for him to give you the ledgers for every month after you gave him your money, because you need to know where your money went. And so they did. And he pushed back even harder and he got so pissed.
That's when he knows he's losing control. I'm noticing a pattern where he gets really angry or very just compulsive. Like,
yes.
When he, you can tell he's losing control of the situation or is about to be found out.
As she continued to play double agent and help the investors get their money back, I couldn't help but be curious how she was able to keep them from going directly to Todd and telling them everything that she had said.
Are you telling them, hey, I'm reaching out to you. Please don't tell Todd. I can be behind the scenes and help you, but jump on this call and you're going to pretend like you don't know what's going on. I mean, was that a conversation that was had before?
Okay. I think towards the end, one of the investors was starting to second guess everything. And because she met Todd under different circumstances, she didn't meet him initially as an investor. He just kind of suckered her into it.
Okay.
So towards the end, she started to, I think, second guess and not believe that he was really shysting people.
Yeah.
But because it was getting not difficult, but it was becoming more complex to keep it a secret that I was telling them information.
I bet.
Because it was becoming this like stacked thing, because there were so many people giving him money that I was like, okay, now look, this person just gave him this money. And how do you think he paid the mortgage this month? And so I was constantly having to prove myself to them. And I told them, I said, we're going to sell this property. You're going to get your money back. And then I'm done. Because Todd actually wanted to sell the property. I pitched it to him to sell the property because that's what he needed to do, because he needed to pay all these people back. And that's the only way I could see there was an answer for it.
I decided to dig a little bit more because I was curious as to why Sarah would put herself on the line like this. Was she worried about any legal ramifications, or did she just solely know that this was completely wrong and she wanted to help?
I even consulted attorneys while I was working for him in how to keep my nose clean. And if anything ever came back, what could come back on me? Right. And I said, this is all I've done with the money. This, I can prove that these are the only things. And, you know, I had two attorneys on call at all times that I could call any time of day or night and be like, hey, this just happened. What is my legal part of this? And I kept my nose clean through the whole thing so that I could push for him to sell that property to pay all these people back, because it was wrong. What he was doing was wrong. What he is doing, he's still doing it. It's wrong.
Yeah.
So I promised everybody, like anybody that I was like, hey, this is what's really going on. Don't do this. And if they still did it, or if they did it before I was there, and I informed them, I promised them I would stay until one, I either got fired, or two, they were paid back. And so Todd wanted to sell the property. he agreed to sell the property.
Okay.
And he wanted me to do an on the road show with him. So we would just book a venue and he'd do like kind of, he always likened it to like a Tony Robbins type of weekend.
Okay.
And so I was like, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. Let's sell the property. Let's take the show on the road. And then later in a few years, we'll get a brick and mortar. And so I kept talking that up and pushing that because, I mean, just selling the property, getting the people paid back, and then I was done. So he put the property up for sale, and then he got a couple offers on it. It wasn't as much as he wanted, so he declined the offers.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had even actually took that step to put it up for sale.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I found him a realtor. I was on it. I was really trying to get everybody paid back, and Jill foiled it, unfortunately.
Now, with Sarah working so closely with Todd, I wondered how many other women she knew were both investors and also having more of a personal relationship with Todd.
Now, was he completely candid with you about any of the relationships he was having, maybe romantically, and or was he kind of carrying on like this facade, like they were all just female investors? I mean, was he honest with you?
All investors.
So he didn't act like he was romantically involved at all. So he still lied to you about that. Okay.
Everybody that he introduced me to was an investor.
Did you believe that that's all it was?
God, no. Okay. No, that man doesn't surround himself with that many women and all of them are investors.
Especially when you can see what a scammer he is. Yeah.
With each week that passed, Sarah saw no change in Todd's scandalous behavior. And the worst part was the list of individuals that Todd was scamming continued to grow.
So you meet Jill in December-ish. Had he fed you any negative stories about her? Because I know that he kind of had set the stage before you guys were to meet. And I think that way, in case you were to say anything, you would seem more like, I don't know, discredited or so to speak.
The only thing he told me about her is she had money and she knows people with money. So he's got to keep her close because she's going to introduce him to all of these people.
Okay.
And she gets invited to like Chamber of Commerce things, which... Okay. Obviously, as people with money. So I don't know if it was Chamber of Commerce or if there was a different, organization similar to that, that she gets invited to. And he wanted to go to all of those events. And so she was his workhorse. She was dinner at the end of the week, you know?
Gosh, I'm just shocked still that he put the two of you in the same car on a road trip because he's such a narcissist. Clearly, he thinks he can get away with everything and control everyone. So, I mean, I'm not that shocked, but God, so stupid.
I think we just caught him by surprise. And I think he thought I was more on board with him than I actually was.
That makes sense. So. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Remember that road trip they all took to Kentucky? Todd, Sarah, and Jill? Well, here is Sarah's recollection of that trip.
This time I actually met her, she was sitting on Todd's couch with him, with her legs over him. And I didn't know, he didn't introduce us. I just, hey, how are you? I'm Todd's assistant. And so she's like, hi. And so we chatted real quick. And then we were all going down to play poker. And so we went downstairs and that's where I learned her name was Jill. And I was like,
oh, okay.
Jill, like, and so I said to Todd later, I was like, Jill, like investor Jill? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, wow, she's not much of an investor, huh? And that's when I was like, come on, you're not going to sit here and lie to me even more when I just watched you guys basically making out on the couch.
Yeah. So, gave that away.
Yeah. So then that was the first time I met her. I don't recall a ride from Nashville to Franklin, Kentucky with her, but we did ride out to another property. Look at where Todd thought this guy was going to invest in his business. And it actually turned out to be where the guy was thinking Todd was going to invest in his business.
Oh, my gosh. Golf course
thing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the golf course?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it just turned out to be this whole shit show. And, but that was the first time that Jill and I actually got to chat a little bit. And that's where I started telling her, we were walking through the mansion and I started telling her, hey, I know he just asked you for more money. Don't do it. Don't give him any money. And so she didn't understand why, obviously. I mean, he seemed like a stellar guy.
Right.
And so I started explaining to her just a little bit, but it was only in like fragmented sentences and it was a little bit here and a little bit there. And
yeah.
Because, I mean, he was there. So I had to start somewhere. And that's where I started.
That was the vibe I got. Like, you were feeling her out a little bit, dropping hints, hoping maybe she'd obviously felt some type of way too, and maybe dug a little bit. And it sounds like both of you had that feeling, but you're a little cautious. And then it just kind of exploded from there that evening. Jill was saying that he was being a complete asshole to you guys. Expecting so much, the cleaning of this property, the this, that, and she was just like, excuse me, like, you don't get to treat us like this. And that you had a trip planned, I think, the next day. So you had to go. Who reaches out to who that evening? Does she reach out to you? Or because I know that's when you guys really, really talk.
Yeah, I think she did reach out to me. I could be wrong on that, but I think she did, because I think some things that I had said started to resonate, because I was like, well, if you don't believe me, look for this. And I started giving her like personality traits to look for and phrases that he would say. And I said, he's saying this, but what it really means is this.
Yeah.
And so I started, you know, while we were there on that golf course, I started doing that stuff. And he had said a couple of the things that I said to look for. And I think she reached out to me and she's like, okay, now you have my attention.
As you all previously heard in the last episode, Jill admits to going to Todd and sharing the things that Sarah had told her. Sarah's definitely now on guard with any future communication with Jill.
Is this the first time now that he finds out that you've been meddling a little bit now and telling her things? And does he contact you right away? Like, what happens?
Nope. So she told him while I was on vacation.
Okay.
And let me think. Yes, she told him while I was on vacation with my kids. And when I got back, he let me go the whole weekend. And on Monday, he fired me.
Oh my God, that fast?
Yep.
So it wasn't even really a discussion. Oh my God. I did not know that.
It was very quick.
No wonder why you're so angry.
Yep.
Because you're trying to help.
And then Todd turns around and goes, do you want Jill to help you find another job? And it was like, fuck off.
Oh my God.
No, I don't want the one that just sold me out when I was trying to help her.
Yeah.
She sold me out. And then you want me to have her help me? Nah.
He's so warped. Ugh.
To gain additional clarity, I wanted to ask Sarah a little bit more about the NDA that Todd made her sign.
The other rumor, I don't know if it's a rumor or the truth, that you had signed an NDA and that he had paid you off to keep your mouth shut.
I did sign an NDA, but not at the beginning of my employment. It was at the end. Actually, it was more of a contract stating that I can't give any of his information away and I can't use any of the Sanjara information for my own personal use. Like, I can't open a Sanjara.
Okay.
He gave me a severance pay.
Okay.
It wasn't hush money. But in the NDA, it mentioned twice where I can't press sexual harassment charges on him. And so I agreed to it because I was like, rape is not sexual harassment. It's a completely different charge. So sure, I'll do it.
You're like, sold.
Yeah, sold, done.
Okay.
So, yes, there is an NDA, but he violated the NDA when he took and gave a copy of it to, or not when he gave a copy. He didn't give a copy to anybody. I gave a copy to my attorney.
Okay.
And he's like, it doesn't really hold any water, but just in case, don't say anything. But then he mentioned my name in a police report, which is a violation of the NDA that he signed with me.
Really? Oh my gosh.
So then that opens it up to where I can say whatever I want.
Yay. Okay, good. Because I want to make sure I don't get you in trouble with anything we've talked about.
I'm sure at this point you have seen a pattern like me. Todd cannot help himself but go after every woman in his path. So I asked Sarah if Todd had made any attempts to go after her. I, of course, expected Sarah to say yes, knowing the man Todd is, but instead, her response was much more devastating than I could have imagined.
Did he ever try to date you or be romantically involved with you, like on a serious note? And were you just like, no way? Or,
well, I did willingly have sex with him twice. And then after that, I was like, God, this is gross. Like, I'm good. I don't want to do that. So then we agreed that we weren't going to ever again. And it's just best to keep business. Okay. And then in December, on December 22nd, he raped me. And that's when I decided I'm really going to blow the lid off this.
Okay.
Because he has actually been charged with rape in the past.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that in Idaho. Mm-hmm. I think they reduced the charge, but it's that was the original. Do you want to keep that private? Or do you want people to know the person he is? It's up to you. And
I think people need to know because he's raped somebody since me too.
Really? Fuck. I'm so sorry. I have goosebumps and I don't know why. I think I feel just like angry and sad and emotional all at the same time because he's such a predator and these people only get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're really brave for allowing other people to learn this information because it is private and it's heartbreaking. But if he is going to, which I know he's going to, make his way to another state, which is going to be Miami most likely, mm-hmm. then it's just a matter of time before this happens to another person. So did you report this, the incident? Did you keep it quiet or did you just internally just give you light a fire in your ass to just take him down?
Well, not initially. I didn't report it. Still haven't reported it. I actually am going to Nashville in August. And I think I'm going to report it then.
Okay.
But the after it happened, I actually went into this really bad depression.
Yeah.
I started going to therapy 3 times a week. It was really bad. Yeah. It was really, really bad. And then I had to work with him on top of that. So not only did it put me in therapy, but it also, that fucks with your head.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know.
And then when you have to see him on a daily basis.
Yep.
I never allowed myself to be alone with him after that.
Good.
I would take my kids with me. I would meet in a public place. If he said, I need you to meet me at the property at this day and time, okay, I take all of my kids and the dog.
Yeah.
And we all went.
Good.
So it was just, I was working with my therapist on how to keep myself safe in that regard. But then also how to mentally navigate what was going on. Because I told her everything about the fraud. I told her everything. And I was like, and she's like, you need to quit. And I'm like, I can't quit. There are other women that are being abused by him, maybe not sexually abused, but there are other women being abused by him. And I am going to stop this. I am going to make this stop. And so my therapist actually helped me keep myself safe in that regard as well. And how to stay out of things legally. And
yeah, so it was therapist.
Yes. She's amazing.
I love that your therapist knew that's what you wanted. And so instead of trying to talk you out of it, she's just like, let's make a game plan. And you continue to do so. And was there a financial aspect of needing to stay as well? I mean, you're a mom, you have your kids. I don't know if you were married or not married.
Nope, single at the time? Single at the time. And I mean, everybody needs income, but I can go get another job. That's not.
Yeah.
That's not ever.
It was a bigger purpose.
Okay.
So where do things stand with Jill and Sarah now?
So it sounds like you and Jill, you parted ways because you were upset for every good reason. Was it just months and months later where you guys slowly started to interact with each other? And
well, she would text me and say that her and Todd broke up and he's such this and that. And so I would say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And I would just kind of leave it alone. And then she would text me and she would vent and she would ask questions. I wouldn't answer questions because I didn't trust her.
Right.
So I wouldn't answer any questions. And then I would say, well, if I were in your shoes, this is what I would do. I wouldn't answer any questions that were specific, but I would definitely give her some advice and be like, maybe you should do this instead, or maybe you should do that. And so then her and Tao would get back together. She stopped talking to me. Yep. And then she texted me again. I know. I was like, listen, lady.
I mean, I've done it. I've been the idiot before. So that's why I'm like, girl, I've been on both sides. I will never judge you.
I actually didn't begin to fully trust that she was done.
Yeah.
Until she started filing legal documents, because she's like, I just want him to pay me. And I was like, then you need to do this.
Yeah.
And so when she finally started doing the things that I told her to do, I was like, oh, maybe she is done.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, and that was exciting.
She is now. You're right. She's on like a little crusade. I think having other strong women who have been victimized by him has really helped her. And yeah, I think that's been helpful.
Where do things stand between Sarah and Todd?
You haven't spoken to him or?
No, he texted me on his birthday because I didn't text him on his birthday. So he texted me on his birthday. I'll read you what he wrote.
Is that recent? Or what month?
August. Oh, July 31st is his birthday.
Okay.
So he texted me at 12:23 in the afternoon on his birthday. And he said, today is my birthday, which you probably remember, but I wanted to say how thankful I am for our relationship this last year. I appreciate all you did, our time together, and my time with the kids in the circus. I hope you all are well, and you and the kids are in my thoughts and prayers on this day.
What?
And before ending my interview with Sarah, I had just one last question for her.
Any advice you want to give to our listeners or to anyone going through anything similar or being in a work situation that they feel like they can't get out of?
Your gut is the number one source of being able to tell when something's wrong.
Yeah, very true.
So I'm going to have t-shirts made. I'll send you guys one. I'm going to say you fucked with Southern women and we don't play. Because we are going to stop him. Like, it has to be done.
I love it. I love that you're a part of this pack because it's so important. You are such a key person. And I'm glad that your boyfriend is, I know that's hard. My husband has a hard time with it. So I'm glad that he is okay with you, you know, speaking up and defending yourself. And that can be tough. So
I wasn't going to do the interview today. And so we were talking about it the other night and I was like, I don't think I should. I just don't think it's a good idea. I said, but we have to stop him. But I just don't think I should do this. And he's like, you're not going to stop him if you keep backing down.
Yeah. Aww, I like him. You got a good one. He's supportive.
I did.
Thank you so, so, so much. I appreciate you. And
thank you guys for taking interest in this.
Oh my gosh.
It's huge. It's going to be so pivotal in
everything. Yeah. I mean, I've dealt with it myself. All those things happened in my storyline too. And I have a very strong passion for this. And, and the fact that the legal system a lot of the times lets things slip through it's baffling. And so we need to bring light to this to really, and media attention to bring these mofos down. So it's scary, but it's worth it in the end. And your family and your children and your boyfriend are going to be so proud of you. And it sounds like they already are.
Maybe there really was a piece of Todd Dean that originally really wanted to make this happen. But then after Wendy revealed more information, and after listening to the things that Sarah had told me, I came to the conclusion that Todd is not capable and is lacking the emotions and feelings to even want to create a wellness center that actually helped others. If by the end of this episode, you are not convinced that Todd Dean is one of the worst predators out there, well, you'll just have to wait till next episode when you all meet Roxy. Because she ain't playing around. And once again, if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a 5-star review and make sure to join our private Facebook group for even more juicy info. You can also find us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. And of course, you can always visit our site at www.xwivesundercover.com.